This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Ninja Prospecting, the outreach team that makes cold connections feel warm and real. If you're tired of spammy DMs and the generic LinkedIn messages that go nowhere, Ninja Prospecting flips the script. They help coaches, consultants, and service-based business owners spark real conversations through strategic, human-first outreach. No bots, no fluff, just honest, data-backed messaging that sounds like you and actually gets replies. Talk to my friend Adam Packard and his team. Whether you want to do it yourself, get guidance, or fully hand it off, they've got you covered. Head over to ninjaprospecting.com and schedule a chat with Adam. Be sure to mention you heard about it right here on the Business Superfans podcast. If you're ready to get started, join their free community at school.skool.com/ninja-prospecting-7704 to maximize your connections and make the right new ones.
They're working with multiple apps, and at times, like, we're biding our time against them. They could take a delivery on another app at the same time as ours. Why do they want to take ours? The earnings are higher because it's a pre-scheduled larger catering order. They can plan their day because we send it in advance. We have live customer support. They have someone that can help them if there's an issue, not a chatbot. So we take all these components of things that, like, if you talk to some business owners, it's like, yeah, that just seems basic. But in the gig world, it's not. Because as soon as the worker's not an employee and you don't see them every day and you don't process their taxes at the end of the year, you think they're different or they're less valuable to your organization. And that's not the case. Empowering the workers and giving them access creates them as a fan, because not only are they the ones dropping off the food, they're picking up at the restaurant. In the early days, a lot of the restaurants would call me like, hey, you picked up an order for one of our online partners and your driver was really nice.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey, superfans, superstar, Freddie D here. In this episode 128, we're joined by Chris Heffernan, the founder and CEO of Delivered, a white label, last mile delivery company operating in nearly 170 markets across the U.S. and Canada. Chris's journey into delivery began with a simple sticker on a cheesecake shop window back in 2011, which sparked his first business and ultimately evolved into Delivered. Today, he leads a team that's redefining third-party catering logistics through AI-powered route optimization, intelligent driver matching, and a philosophy of automating what you can and humanize what's important. With a commitment to efficiency, reliability, and sustainability, Chris is on a mission to deliver not just meals, but exceptional experiences for restaurants, drivers, and customers alike. Get ready for an insightful conversation. Welcome, Chris, to the Business Superfans Podcast. We're excited to have you here today. How are you today, Chris?
I'm awesome. Thanks so much for letting me join.
Yeah, so I was looking over your stuff, and you've got an interesting story. Let's go back to the beginning. How did this all come about? What's the backstory? Give us the scoop.
My foray into entrepreneurship started back in 2011. I was working at a major telecom company. I'd been there for about 9 years and was increasingly hating my job. I was on vacation. I was in Delray Beach, Florida. It's right outside of Palm Beach. Beautiful little town. I see a cheesesteak shop. But because I'm from the Philadelphia area and a little bit of a bigger guy, I was like, I need to make sure this is a real cheesesteak. A whole different diatribe, probably for a different podcast, would be what makes a real Philly cheesesteak and what makes it a sandwich. But I go there and I see a sign on the window and it says, we deliver with delivery dudes. This is before DoorDash existed, before Uber Eats was a thing. Grubhub was around, but you could get pizza and Chinese. There was no other things delivered, the world we know now of delivery. And I'm like, that's really cool. And I'm thinking back to where I live in suburban Philadelphia, and I wanted to bring that, you know, bring that there. So I talked with the owner of the cheesesteak shop, Big Al, South Philly Cheesesteak, great cheesesteaks down there in Delray Beach. Check them out if you're around there. And learned how the whole system worked. I came home and I bought a website that was made to sell shoes. But instead of ordering a Nike size 10, you were getting a burger cooked medium well. I started signing up restaurants, recruiting drivers, and really building that business. So the slogan for us is, it all started with a cheesesteak.
Wow. What an interesting backstory. How do you guys compete with some of the other guys? What differentiates you? What makes you different?
Yeah, the first part that really differentiated us was being first. A lot of people are obsessed with, if you're first, you're the best. Well, I was first in that sense, and we got crushed, right? So this first business that I kicked off in 2011 was called Food Cab. Food Cab grew to 65 restaurants in the suburban Philadelphia area, and it did okay. It made a living for me. I was still out delivering every day, working 12 hours a day, but it was paying the bills. But come 2018, the Uber Eats of the world, the DoorDash, they basically just crushed me. They identified my little area as a hot zone, started offering restaurants more money to sign with them, paying drivers more money to drive on their app. So I was at a Boston Market, basically now defunct. They're trying to make a resurgence. The mac and cheese was pretty decent. And the manager's like, it's great that you're bringing me this small $20 order. I need help delivering this $250 order to a pharmaceutical rep. And I'm like, wait, so the customer doesn't order from me. I don't got to worry about credit card fees, marketing. If an item's missing, you handle all that. You just need me to get a person from point A to point B with this food at lunchtime. And he was like, yeah. And we pivoted. And what was now our differentiator was why these apps were focusing on that $25 order for that person, we started focusing on the burger bar for the office. We did that in Philadelphia, then rolled it to Baltimore, and then up to 172 locations across the US and Canada.
Wow. So you took a situation that was looking grim, made a pivot. You really identified a unique market vertical that you could exploit and position yourself as a dominant player in a completely different vertical.
Yeah, it took what would have been a moment of adversity and turned it into a moment of opportunity, right? And now there's other players in the space, and there were some other players in that catering large order format space as well, but nobody was like attacking it and making it their full focus. And I was like, I can attack this. I can make this my full focus. Just like in 2011, when I made a gamble to start my own business in 2018, I made the gamble to rebrand and retarget the business. And unlike the 2011 venture, this one seemingly has worked out.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got 170 locations, and that speaks for itself. You've carved out a unique brand with Deliver, and that is a really cool approach of maximizing an opportunity and providing a service that's much needed, especially in today's world.
Yeah, and more with return to work in a post-COVID era, feeding workers who come to the office, which was once a perk, right? Think about like those Friday office parties, like, yeah, we did quote everybody, here's a pepperoni pie. Now it's, hey, we need you to come back in after being remote, but don't worry, every day we have lunch, and every day it's something different. You can choose between tacos, pizza, and Chinese food delivered, you know, whatever, on Monday, and then Tuesday it'll be a different set of restaurants. So this food for work, this feeding the workforce has just exploded, and someone needs to get that food there. We're not saving lives. We're not transporting hearts around, but we are feeding the workers that are fueling the economy.
Well, sure. You know, when I was in global sales, as we talked before we started recording, every time we hit a milestone, so we hit $50,000 a month in sales, I brought the team into the conference room. I didn't tell anybody. I went out and got all the catering myself. I had to go and find the places, order the stuff, drive there, go pick it up, bring it back into the office, try to make sure that nobody saw what I was doing because I wanted it to be a surprise. Even the owner had no idea. Fortunately, I had discretionary decision making. So I would go around once it all set up, all the way around to the office and invite everybody into the conference room for an important meeting, an impromptu meeting. And nobody had an idea what was going on. But it was my way to elevate that team to say, hey, We just hit $50,000 a month in sales for this product line that we started from zero. But I had to do all the work. So what you're doing with your service is I can just pick up the phone and says, hey, Chris, I want to have this and this and this and this delivered by 11:30. So 12 o'clock, it's ready to go. We get it all set up and then we can invite the team in. That's where you come in and make it happen.
Yeah, the one piece there is with us, nobody actually calls delivered, right? Nobody orders from us. Well, if Boston Market was still around, Qdoba is a partner of ours. Cozy is a regional chain we work with. And you order from them online and we're integrated right into their tech stack. It just comes to us. So we don't have to worry about getting those customers or dealing with that. We support the brands. And that really helped us fuel growth and moved us to 172 markets was moving through tech aggregation. So like restaurants are the most sold businesses, I think, probably in the world. Credit card machines, linens, food suppliers, insurance, TV packages, internet, point of sale systems. Everybody's coming at restaurants. So if I went up and I door knocked on every restaurant, I'd go, I want to deliver your catering. They'd be like, I don't have time to talk to you. Go away. So instead, I went to their tech stack. We went to Olo. We went to Easy Cater. We went to Toast. We went to all these different POSs and said, hey, this is what we want to do. Cool. Integrate. Now, instead of door knocking on insert barbecue restaurant here, we have 1,000 barbecue restaurants through this integration. And it was growth through integration. And that just fed volume.
Yeah. Okay. So I was still thinking a little bit old school, but the reality is what you've done is you've really cleverly leveraged technology to maximize the whole equation of everything. So now I can go directly to the restaurant and I feel like Mexican today. Poof, we go there, order it, and I don't even have to worry about delivery. It's just automatic. That's part of the deal.
It's just there. The driver goes, gets the order, brings it to the office, sets it up, takes a picture, and ideally they go and do it again. The one problem is it kind of poses a couple like scenarios. One, that driver is the last point of contact for that brand. They order from Qdoba. They don't know who delivered is. They don't know the driver's working on a gig app that isn't Qdoba. They're assuming I ordered Qdoba. This is Qdoba. So that last touch point, arguably the most important touch point of that delivery journey, is this gig worker putting out those chips and salsa. And if it goes well, great. But if it goes bad, the Google review isn't the delivered driver that uses the delivered app did a poor job setting up my chips and queso. It's Qdoba did a bad job setting up my chips and queso. So there's a lot of pressure, a lot of high stakes for getting these orders right for these brands. Because it's not one taco for $4. It's a $450 taco bar on the line.
Yeah, so this goes back to what we were talking before we started recording. You really need to create super fans out of that gig driver, first and foremost, of your agency because they're working for you. And in turn, they have to be understanding and have the wherewithal that they're representing the Qdoba brand. And they've got to be able to pivot and say, okay, they're representing that day. They're representing that brand. And they need to act like that brand because, like you just said, it's paramount. Just like when I was running an interpreting and translation company, before I took it over, the husband and wife team, they felt that they were doing the interpreters, which were contractors, favors by giving them work. And I says, you're not getting it. That contractor that speaks Spanish or Portuguese or German or whatever it is, they're going to the hospital doing the interpreting for you, they're representing your company. So you need to change your mindset because that's your front line. So in your case, it's a combination. That person's a front line for your business. And it's actually a double caveat, I think, because it's a front line for your business to the restaurant. And at the same time, it's a front line for the restaurant to the person at the delivery.
Yeah, absolutely. When we look at like customers or clients, drivers that use the platform to connect with these orders are just as much customers as the Qdobas or the restaurants that we partner with. So we have to sell the drivers on taking orders on our platform. We have to sell the clients on using our platform, and they both commingle a bit. But yeah, we need the drivers to be the super fans because they're making those representations, right? And in the gig space, it's not hard to create a super fan. but it's real easy to create whatever the opposite that is, a super detractor, a super villain, maybe, because a lot of these gig workers and a lot of these apps that utilize gig workers are so used to treating them like that language company, where it's, right. No, they need us more than we need them. If those language people stop showing up, don't do the delivery, there is no delivery business. They're the most crucial piece to the whole thing.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Chris, I had a guy on a show earlier, back when I just was getting started with the show, and him and I had worked at a company. He left and he started doing gig delivery services. And he was working with restaurants. He was working also with medical stuff. One of the things he talked about in the podcast is he treated it as his own business. He was a business person. And the way he was creating super fans out of the restaurant and the customer is he would check the food and make sure that the order was correct before he even left the restaurant. And he would say, okay, what was the order? Oh, wait a minute. He would tell, we're missing this. He would call the customer up and say, hey, I'm going to be a little bit late because I found this that was missing and I'm waiting for him to fix it. He created a super fan out of both of them because he made the restaurant look good, because he saved them from having a face plant, and he gave a heads up to the customer that, hey, I got your back. I'm making sure your order's all okay. And he was making over $100,000 a year doing deliveries.
Yeah, and we see that. We have a lot of drivers on the platform that will go above and beyond and make this their full-time gig and treat it like their own independent business, because they are. They're independent contractors. And yep. That's the first step in creating the driver super fan is enabling them to be able to operate that way. A lot of these gig apps, like if you call a ride share, more often than not, that driver just knows where they're picking you up from. They don't know where they're going until they pick you up. Well, that's right. Not transparent. You're asking a business to make a business decision without all the information. So one of the big things that we did to really drive this super fan mantra is just be transparent. This is where you're going. This is what you're getting. This is how much money you're going to make. This is how much time we think it should take. And if you want it, accept it. If you don't want it, don't worry. You can swipe decline and we'll send you other jobs that fit like your parameters. So rooting that transparency was the first step in kind of creating those fans.
Yeah, because what you're doing is you're empowering them to make decisions themselves that is going to fit whatever they're after. And that's pretty cool because of the fact that now they're in charge of their own destiny.
Right. And they're working with multiple apps and it ties like we're buying our time against them. They could take a delivery on another app at the same time as ours. Why do they want to take ours? The earnings are higher because it's, you know, a pre-scheduled larger catering order. They can plan their day because we send it in advance. We have live customer support. They have someone that can help them if there's an issue, not a chatbot. So we take all these components of things that, like, if you talk to some business owners, it's like, yeah, that just seems basic. But in the gig world, it's not. Because as soon as the worker's not an employee and you don't see them every day and you don't process their taxes at the end of the year, you think they're different or they're less valuable to your organization. And that's not the case. Empowering the workers and giving them access creates them as a fan, because not only are they the ones dropping off the food, they're picking up at the restaurant. In the early days, a lot of the restaurants would call me like, hey, you picked up an order for one of our online partners and your driver was really nice. How can we send you other orders? So they're out there, the face of the business.
They're the face. That's what we were just talking earlier. They're the face of your business. So you really want them to champion them, to really empower them to be that brand ambassador, or as I prefer, superfans, so it's a cooler name, have that superfan, because now that's going to attract more business for you because of the way that they handle themselves with that restaurant. And more importantly, it's going to make that restaurant look like a rock star, and it's going to get more business from the restaurant, from the customer.
Circle of life, like the Lion King, right? More orders keeps driver happy. Driver gets more orders, restaurant's happy, I'm happy, everybody's rolling and going.
So how did you get this whole system put together? I mean, what's the backstory on that? Because it's taken a lot, that's not a 5-minute project.
No, a 7-year and counting project. I would lie if I said like we're done building out like our system from start to finish. I took kind of the same practice I took when I was getting that food cap business going. When in 2018, there wasn't really a need for pre-scheduled large ordering delivery applications, right? catering wasn't as big of a buzzword in the food industry as it is now, all of the apps that managed the whereabouts of drivers and the customer journey and stuff were all for I want it now. It was for those burgers, not the burger bars. Some deep scouring on the internet late at night, I found a logistics platform that I could buy the base code for. They were based in India, so I bought that for like $1,000, I think. Then I went on Upwork and I found For Hire Talent to be able to come in and customize it a little bit, be able to work on the tracking links, get order entry a little bit better, build these different things that were kind of missing from all those other softwares. That's how we had started. And that's how we ran from 2018 up until the end of 2024, where finally at the fourth quarter of 2024, we ended where from the time a driver says, I'm interested in taking an order, to the time that they are paid, it is 100% in our ecosystem and tech stack. So we manage that whole delivery driver's journey. So it can't be like, oh, it's this software's fault or that doesn't work or this. It's all on us to make sure that we're providing an extraordinary experience to the drivers so they can provide an extraordinary experience to the clients.
And you said a key thing, clients, because there's two clients in the equation.
Right. So there's always the clients and the client's clients. So while moving out of the old food cab style business, I lost the need to manage the credit card fees and marketing and like handling some of those complaints. Now I just have this like three-headed beast of like customer, my customer's customer, and my drivers. I just got to try and appease and make happy and just keep feeding them volume and make sure that orders keep flowing.
Sure. Well, you know, I don't know what you do this or not, but I'm just toss out suggestions. Maybe are you recognizing any of your drivers on their birthdays and stuff like that?
Yeah, drivers get a partner anniversary blast. They get birthday notifications. Every week we have different competitions. If you're on time to your pickup, you're entered for a $500 bonus. We do driver engagement events where we'll travel to a city and invite any drivers that are active on the platform. We typically do like a Dave and Buster's. There's food, there's game coupons. You can bring your family. A lot of drivers come with their kids. They get a play card. They have fun. They get to meet the team, give out some swag. So we do lots of fun stuff like that. We have a Gifts for Grads program. Drivers who have family members or even friends that are graduating can win a $1,500 scholarship from Delivered. Someone from the team goes out there, gets one of those big obnoxious paper checks, does that whole thing. We choose 3 to 5 drivers per year for that program. I just sponsored a baseball team for one of the drivers. They can submit different charities that are important to them in their hometown, because if it's their hometown, it's a town we make money in. So we should support that as well. So lots of different ways to connect. Sure, we could say, we're paying you, that's enough. We're giving you favors for you to take orders, but no.
That's the wrong mindset. Your business would be in a toilet like that.
For every gig app that's successful, there's 100 gig apps that failed. I don't know that is a rock solid stat, but I would put money on it.
Sure. What I'll really emphasize for our listeners is what you're just doing is you're creating super fans out of the driver team, because you're acknowledging them, one, as people, two, they're a critical part of the business growth. So you're empowering them, which is empowering you and your business. And, you know, what you put out, they say, comes back 10 times. What you're doing is putting out a multitude of positive things to really build that synergy of that team. It also builds camaraderie because they meet other fellow drivers, start building some relationships, create some friends, and hey, what is it that you're doing? How are you doing that? That creates an ecosystem that's energized. And once you have an energized ecosystem, your business just explodes.
Yeah. One thing that made me realize like that I had super fans before I knew what super fans were, I was trying to find a video that we made to share with a customer. I went on YouTube and I searched Delivered, and there's all these videos of these, I call them gigfluencers now, these gigfluencers making content about the app I created. I never knew this was a thing. There was dozens of them, if not more. And I went to somebody on the team and I'm like, guys, did you see? And they were like, yeah, you didn't know? There's all these YouTube channels. There's Facebook groups and they're on there collaborating and talking with each other. And this is how to do good. And someone posts a bad picture and they're like, don't do that. It's going to be bad for us. The restaurants won't send us any more orders. So I created this whole network of super fans without even really knowing it. And it was all kind of just by like, in my mind, doing the right thing. right?
Doing the right thing. A lot of business owners chintz on doing the right thing because it's not that important. But one of the sayings I have is the little things are really the big things. You're doing what something is maybe perceived as little, but to them, it's big. And the other thing that you're doing is one of my quotes in that book is people will crawl through broken glass for appreciation and recognition. And what you're doing with all those events that you're putting together is you're showing appreciation to all the drivers. You're recognizing them for achievements and everything else. That's how you create super fans. And for people to understand really the power of superfans, I'm going to just use the funny example, the Chicago Cubs, okay? The Chicago Cubs have gotten superfans for decades, that diehard fans that believe in the Cubs. And yes, they finally won, after about 100 years, a World Series. But the superfans stayed with them through thick and thin. And that's what happens is when you build a team of superfans, they'll stick with you when it's raining and when it's sunny.
Yeah, I totally agree. You need to do those little things, and all the little things like add up, right? Could we have not done them 100%? And as a business owner, it was a simple question to myself, like, would I appreciate this? When I get an email on my birthday from random vendor here, like, is that great, right? And also, I reference back on things like American Express, notably a great customer service brand. What do they do? Hey, Mr. Heffernan, thanks for being a card member since 2003. We really appreciate your service. Hey, team, when a driver calls in, we see their partner, Virtually. Say thank you for being on the platform since then. You're the most important part of the platform. You see that they took a last-minute order last week? Call that out when you're on the phone with them. Do these little things. And if you look at what you find as good customer service, because as a business owner, you work with a lot of different people, right? So you should be able to see those things, little practices from each one. Go to Chick-fil-A, call American Express, right? Get on the phone, go into a T-Mobile store, places that have these high customer service scores. And it might not be applicable to your business, but a piece of it can definitely be modified to create that super fan, create that experience for a gig worker, for a customer. It doesn't matter. It's all the same principle. It's all customer service at the end of the day.
Because, you know, there's a lot of people talk about servant leadership, employee experience. And there's people talk about customer experience. What you and I are talking about is the whole ecosystem. So it's the contractors. It's the suppliers, it's the distributors, it's the complementary businesses, and nobody even ever thinks of the ancillary business. But really, that's still part of the ecosystem. Your CPA firm, your lawyer, they're all part of that whole ecosystem. So you've got to take care of that ecosystem, and it'll take care of you.
Right. Yeah, gone are the days of they'll work with me because they've always worked with me, right? Even the vendors that we work with, they recognize this. What our payment processor came by with a poster the other week, and it was like the journey of how Delivered started. It had like years, and when we partnered with them was a piece of it. When we launched our pay card, drivers have a Delivered branded card that they get paid on, which is really neat for me and good for the drivers. They get fast pay within 5 minutes. They have the money from that delivery. But here's this like 2-foot by 3-foot poster all framed and looking nice. And it's just like, hey, thanks for your patronage. 2 weeks later, I'm on a call with somebody who does gig stuff. And I'm like, you need to talk to these guys. They're great. Because they created a super fan out of me. It doesn't limit to just the customers that give you money, like, and shop at your store online or whatever the vendors you work with. You just want people out there telling your story and connecting you. And that's going to drive business. Not every conversation's a home run, but the more conversations you have, the better.
Yeah, and what that processor did was really just acknowledge your business and your growth. Now you've got something that you can look at and be proud of.
Right.
Say, man, look at this is our story.
Right.
And they just put together your story for you. So again, that was a little thing, but to you, that's a big thing because now you got that on the wall and then you can go, wow. Look at where we started and look where the heck we're at. And more importantly, when someone new comes in, they go, oh, wow. And then they see the whole story themselves.
Yeah. When people walk in, it's right front and center. There it is. Like, look at this. What's that? Oh, this is our journey. And how did we make this journey? With this processor. It's beneficial to them. And it probably took 30 minutes of a graphic designer's time and like plugging it into a website to frame and ship it. Like, not a big deal, but here we are talking about it.
The little things are the big things. That's really it. So do you have a story of something that how you guys really change the situation for a restaurant or a catering business and had to turn something around that was going south?
I'd say, I don't know of anything where like somebody was in like dire straits and like our service like completely saved them. I will say that for the most part, like when we started in Philadelphia after the Boston Market restaurants, we found an amazing barbecue restaurant, Sweet Lucy's Barbecue. Phenomenal, high average order value, but complex setup, sternos, chafing racks, like got to light the things under it to keep the food warm. And their delivery radius is crazy. They're based in Northeast Philadelphia. We would deliver to Baltimore, Maryland. We would deliver into Jersey, New York. Like,
wow. Because, I mean, you're talking some miles.
Yeah. And people will pay because they want this barbecue. I'm a big fan of their smoked wings and their ribs with the dry rub is really good. But I digress. They were having trouble keeping up with demand. They were turning down orders. Father's Day is like the Super Bowl for them. Well, I guess the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl if the Eagles are playing. But Father's Day is their Black Friday. Better example. They would have to cap how many deliveries they would take. Then they partnered with us. They were using W-2 drivers out of the store. Now they have an influx of gig workers. So they didn't have to start capping orders. And they grew their business, their catering business, which was already strong. But they tripled it within the first year of working with us just because they didn't have to say no. And that's the biggest story that I know because I was involved in it and cultivated that relationship from the start. But it's the same tale across many of the brands we work with. Deals they once said no to, they can now say yes. And catering, which was once a small part of their profit line, is now a bigger part. And that was because of the drivers on the platform and the platform itself.
Great story, and I want to really emphasize that in a sense that what you did through your Deliver platform and your resources, they didn't have to worry about finding drivers or anything like that. Your team came together and basically gave them, I won't say unlimited, but a significant amount of avenues that they could use to deliver products to the recipient that they didn't have the bandwidth to handle before. And actually it's saving them money because they don't have to hire their own drivers anymore and worry about the liabilities and everything else. So you've also put money back in their pocket.
Yeah, we grew their bottom line in multiple ways. You're right. By adding more to the top, getting more orders in, insurance claims, insurance is expensive. You know, no hiring and recruiting fees, no unemployment claims, no payroll taxes on these workers. And it flexes. If it's slow on Tuesday, you're not paying somebody to sit around. If it's busy on Saturday, we flex to the demands. It's a great tool for the brands that need it and the brands that have that high volume and can really use it. They do it well. And the like brands have to like, there's doing catering and offering catering. Sweet Lucy's is a brand that does catering. They have a whole system around it. A lot of brands offer catering where it's like, we cater. But they don't have the packaging, they don't have the customer base, they don't have the online ordering tools, they don't need a fleet like us. The brands that do it, that's the sweet spot.
Yeah, the other guys just have it as a sign, yeah, we can do it, and hope it's a hope and pray strategy that they get any business because that's not their model and they're not going after that business. But yeah, we got it, we can do it too.
Yeah, mostly in that kind of scenario, it's perfect. The manager or the owner should be taking that order to learn how to get better so they can start doing catering, not just offering.
Right, right. Chris, as we kind of get close to the end of the show here, great conversation, great insight. You and I could talk on this stuff for hours. And how can people find you?
Yeah, we talked about transparency at the beginning, right? Transparency and earnings. Transparency for me as well. You can find me on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/the F. And then all my social media channels are open as well. They're all the F215, otherwise YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. It's all there. And I go over all the different stuff that we're doing as a business, my entrepreneurial journey, all that jazz. You can learn more about Delivered at DLIVRD.io.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure having you on the Business Superfan podcast. And we definitely look forward to having you on the show again down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for letting me come on and talk. It was a great conversation.
Thank you, buddy. Before we wrap, remember, one action, one stakeholder, one superfan closer. This week's pillar is A, automate, from my Superfans framework, the 9-step system I created to help you turn every stakeholder into a loyal advocate for your business, the kind of superfans who champion your brand, drive referrals, and accelerate sustainable growth. Here's your action for the week. The fastest way to scale is to remove repetitive, low-value tasks from your plate and your teams. Within the next 24 hours, pick one recurring process in your business, like order routing, client onboarding, or scheduling, and research a tool or integration that could automate it end to end. Do that, and you'll reclaim hours each week, reducing costly errors and deliver smoother, more consistent customer experience. One action, one stakeholder, one superfan closer.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to BusinessSuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the Accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.